When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storms. Oh, Father, you are King over the floor. I will be still, know you are God. I will be still, know you are God. And I will be still, know you are God. Heavenly Father, I pray even as the world through its challenges at us, O Lord, when the oceans will rise and the storms will roar at us, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that you give us the calmness and hearts to be still and know that you are God, O God. Father, give us the grace to listen to you, O God. Father, we pray, O Lord Jesus, help us to see you above the storms, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Before I start, I just want to reverence the Holy Spirit in this place. I just want to reverence God. I want to reverence the King of Kings for who he is, who we are in him, who he is in us. I have no other person to reverence but God. I have no other person to just acknowledge. So Holy Spirit, I just worship you. Father, I worship you. Jesus, I recognize your supremacy and your royalty. I embrace your holiness, O Lord Jesus. I embrace your power, Lord Jesus. I embrace your grace this morning, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for what you have done today, O God. Father, I thank you for the beautiful weather, Lord Jesus. Father, it's your doing, O God. Indeed, it's marvelous in our sight, Lord Jesus. Father, it's you that came before us, and it's you that will be after us, O God. Father, I just ask, O God, that you have your way in this place, O Lord Jesus. Father, I pray, O God, that you use me as a vessel, O God. Father, I recognize that I'm only man. I'm only dust in your presence. And I recognize that you are the King of Kings. You are the Ancient of Days. You are the I Am that I Am. You are the all-consuming fire. You are the merciful and kind God. Father, Lord Jesus, as I speak, Lord Jesus, Father, I pray, O God, that you use my tongue, O God, as a pen ready for the writer, Lord Jesus, to inscribe in the hearts of men, Lord Jesus, your words, Lord Jesus. And I pray that the words that will be spoken will be words of life. There will be words of hope and strength, Lord Jesus. I pray, O God, for a humble heart, Lord Jesus. I pray for a humble spirit, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you move, Lord Jesus. Father, in the time I have, Lord Jesus, O God, I do not undermine the potency of your word, Lord Jesus. And I pray that the one word you have for every person, Lord Jesus, let it be power in the name of Jesus. Let it be power in the name of Jesus, O Lord. Father, I pray that you resurrect every dead thing now in the name of Jesus, O God. Let there be life in the atmosphere, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that this room no longer becomes a hall, Lord Jesus. It no longer becomes a gathering, Lord Jesus. It becomes a sanctuary for the move of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, O God. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place, O God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if everybody knows that today is Youth Sunday, but that's not really important. The important thing is we are here in the presence of God. And I want us to just receive what God has for us today. During the week when I was trying to prepare this message, I didn't know how to prepare it, but the disloyal youths, they forced it on me. They told me to go and preach. So I'll be dealing with them afterwards. And I didn't know what to preach about. I probably had the message I thought I had. And I thought, you know, I would share it. You know, it's something that I would love to share with the church one day. But I recognize that this is not my work. And I recognize this is not my doing. And I just ask God that, I need to pray for this message. I have a week to prepare for the message. But regardless, I'll wait for you. And I'll let you speak to me and give me the word you have today. And as God will have it, God spoiled me by doing my homework for me. I was in a place on Friday, and God just gave me the message. And I just pray that God will just speak to us as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. The topic for today is still in the theme of the month in Romans 8. The topic for today is, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's in, I'm taking that from the book of Romans 8, chapter 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? I want you to say that boldly. If God is for me, who can be against me? Look to your left and to your right and tell somebody, if God is for me, who can be against me? Nobody can be against us. I wrote down in this place, many Christians suffer hurt, pain, loss, and even manipulation by the enemy, not because they have not given their lives to Christ at one point in time, but because they do not know the God that they serve. If you don't know the God you serve, then you cannot know what your God can do, and you will never know what your God will do. I was watching something yesterday, and it was talking about worries. And I, for one, I know I worry a lot, but I know God will take every spirit of worry from me in Jesus' name. And I was just looking. When people worry, they always do like this. And something just said to me this morning, it's because they think of too many things, so your head is heavy, so you need to hang it like this. But God is telling us this morning that He wants to take us from being warriors to warriors. Yeah. Amen. I wrote, you know, there's a saying that says, you are what you eat. If you keep on eating chicken and chips, it will be evident in your anatomy eventually. And someone said to me once, you're your father's son. And I used to think about it. And I used to say, wow, if my father is God, I definitely want to be his son. The book of Romans says we are heirs, we are co-heirs with Christ. So if we are our father's son, and if our father is our father and his father is God, then nobody can be against us. As Christians, we always want to assess what God can do and possess what He can give. But we never confess who God is or profess who we are in God. In the book of Psalm 16:8, He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This is from somebody that knows who His God is. Who He has set is God. And we go to 11, it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are treasures forevermore. What I'm saying this morning is, we need to know who our God is. We need to know who is for us, so that whoever is against us cannot match His power. Because His word in Colossians 2 says, everything that was against us and contrary to us, He has triumphed over everything. Our God is our defender. He arises for us. In the book of Psalm 68, He says, arise, O God. The psalmist is saying, arise, because he knows the God he serves can arise. You don't tell a stone to arise because you know gravity is pulling it down. But our God is not bound by laws. He's not bound by science. He's not bound by our own thinking. Amen. In the book of Psalm 37, it says, I have been young. Now I am old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. That's because our God is a God that looks after His own. The God that is for us will always look after His own. Amen. If you remember in the book of John, chapter 8, the story of the adulterous woman. I love that story so much because I'm not saying I'm an adulterous woman, but I say I've seen a little bit of me in her before, where the enemy has sought to seek me out. The Bible says, we have taken her in the act. That is to say, they were waiting for her. Yes, she sinned, like many of us do. But when the enemy is waiting for you, then you know there's trouble looming. The Bible says they were waiting for her. The Bible says they were scribes and Pharisees. They have no business waiting for her. Their job was to be in the temple and reading. So what would they be doing in the house of the adulterer if not waiting for her? But Jesus defended the woman. And when they came to Him, you can tell they just came to tempt Jesus because the Bible said so. It said they came to tempt Him. And He said, now, Master, Moses has said so and so. you will catch an adulterous woman. What do we do? And you look at the book of John very well. I was telling somebody the other day, I think they are ready for Olympics. Because any small thing, they want to stone Jesus Christ in the book of John. And they're waiting to stone again. But what did Jesus do? The Bible says Jesus stooped down, like as if he never heard them. And he began to write on the floor. I remember the first day I read that, I was thinking, what is Jesus doing? They're about to kill somebody, and he's not doing anything. And I heard a man say, what Jesus was doing was writing down the names of those people. He said, all of you here, you're all accusing this woman. He started writing down their names one by one. Say, you, remember yesterday, you did this. You want to stone this woman. Remember yesterday, you stole this. And the Bible said they all watched. And he did the same thing again. He said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And he went back writing down their names again, and they saw their names. And they convicted in their spirit, said, I'm seeing my name on the floor. Jesus knows I've sinned too. So I should just drop my stone and go away. And what did Jesus say? He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? That is the God that we serve, that is for us. That nobody against us. Because by every right of the law, they should stone the woman by every means necessary. I don't even think the woman, it's not written in scripture the woman said anything. She did not try to defend herself because the enemy sought to take her out. I pray this morning that every sin that the enemy is using as a leverage against us to condemn us, let it be removed now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that mercy will prevail over every judgment of the enemy against us. Amen. Likewise, in the book of Acts 5, when Peter and the apostles were about doing mighty works, doing mighty things through Christ, and the high priest and Sadducees, they were not happy, clearly, and they arrested them and the apostles, and they put them in prison because they shouldn't have done that by their law. And the angel of the Lord did what? Rescued them and set them free. And they were looking for these people to accuse them again. Where were these people that we put in prison? We can't find them. Oh, there they are. They have started again. Let's be against them like we've always been. Let's see who is for them. And what did Peter say? He said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, I was thinking at that point in time, you must know who is backing you for you to say that. You know, I remember when I was young, one of my uncles, Uncle Femi and Uncle Tunde, used to beat me a lot. But I always have this thing. The moment my mom said I can watch TV, I would tell them, I have to obey my mommy. Although I know my mom goes to work in the morning and come back in the night, and between those 12 hours, they'll have beaten the hell out of me. But the moment I know who is behind me, I will say, my mom told me to watch TV. And I'll take the remote, change the battery, make sure everything is set, and I'll watch till I'm full. But the moment I'm, you know, my mom is not giving me back in, I know they will hang me. And they came to arrest them. They said, let them deal with these people again. You escaped the first time. You cannot escape from us the second time, you know. Maybe angel saved you the first time. We'll see if God will save you. But what did God do? He said there was a man, a respectable man called Gamaliel in the Bible. He said, listen, people, you want to arrest these people, I'll tell you two stories. There was a man called Judas that had his own people. And what happened to him? He said when he perished, his followers left. And there's another man again called Judas of Galilee. He said when he had his own people too, he perished. I'm telling you people, I don't think these people are like these people. I think they are for God. Let people not say we are fighting against God. Because even Gamaliel himself, he knew the God that they were serving. He knew that if God be for them, nobody can be against them. He said, you know what? This is my hands. God is for them. I will not be against them. I pray this morning that God will raise people to your defense in the name of Jesus. When people will surround you to bring you down, God will raise respectable men and women to stand to your defense. Peter did not need them. He did not need Gamaliel to speak for him. He came forth as a respectable man and said, listen, God is for these people. Nobody can be against them. Amen. I want us to do something this morning. Even the enemy knows who is on God's side. The enemy knows who God is on his or her side. I remember I was in fellowship the other day, I was watching a video. And people may have read the book before. It's called He Came to Set the Captives Free. And it's about a woman that said, when she was empowered by Satan and she's walking on the road, she said she could see Christians and so-called Christians. She said the way they attack people by is just seeing the fire on their head. If the fire is already small, they know to attack you. If you have no fire at all, they don't need to attack you because you're in their back pockets already. The enemy knows who is on God's side. You look at the book of Job 1, chapter 10. Satan said, have you not hedged around him? Have you not covered all he has on every side? That's it. Even the enemy knew that this man Job, I can't touch him. He was telling God, you are asking me to go and deal with him. Even if I wanted to deal with him, I can't go because your hand is around him. Amen. And likewise, even Jesus too, he knew who was on his side. Jesus knows who's on his side. It's not about coming to church. It's not about talking. It's not about playing. It's not about drumming or singing or coming early or making sure your shirt is ironed. Jesus knows who's on his side. Amen. Amen. In the book of Luke 9, thereabouts, when John came to him and said, Master, we saw a man casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him not because he did not join us. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, forbid him not, for if he's not against us, he is for us. So it's not about what you do. It's about who you are in Christ, who you have behind you. This man did not need to have the 12 disciples before he cast. He said he was casting out in thy name. He was not casting out demons by power. Amen. I read down here, some of us don't realize whose side we are on. We think we are on God's side, but we are actually on our own side. Or should I say on the enemy side? Because if you are not on God's side, you are definitely on the enemy side. We always think it's us that is doing this thing. So therefore, you know, one little small anointing, one little small position in leadership, one little small authority, you know, they say you're a youth leader today, then you think, you know, you are definitely on God's side. Amen. In the book of Joshua 5, I admire Joshua so much as a man. I really do admire him. Because he took steps that I want to take in life. He learned under somebody. He served under somebody. But there's one thing that he did that I did not like in Joshua 5. This was when they were going to fight, you know, the war of Jericho. Just because Moses has spoken to Joshua and said, you know, God said, anoint him. Give him part of your anointing. Not all. The Bible said, part of your anointing. Lead these people. Be their judge. Be their hero. Joshua thought, yes, I've arrived. Yes, I have full anointing. And when they're going to fight in Jericho, the Bible says in Joshua 5:13, he said, then he saw a man armed with sword, shiny man, big man. Joshua that did not know whose side he was on yet. I'm assuming he was very cocky, was very arrogant that I have this anointing. So I'm definitely on my side. And he went to him and said, who are you for? Are you for me or my adversaries? At that point, I was thinking, he must be a very brave man to say that. You know, you challenge who you don't know. You know, and it's what many Christians do. We challenge who we don't know. Meanwhile, we don't know who we have behind us. We don't know if there's anybody behind us. As John was saying this morning, your back is covered and you are challenging who you don't know. And the man said, no, I am neither for you nor for the enemy. I'm for God. Even the angel knew who he was for. So the angel at that point in time knew if God was for him, even Joshua cannot be against him. Amen. 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 So it's important to know whose side we are on. It's either God's side or nothing at all. Like I said, the topic is, if God be for us, who can be against us? If not, the topic could be different. If God is against us, who can be for us? It's as simple as that. If we are not with God, then if God is against us, I don't want to even think about it. I think it's just a terrible thought if God is against you.
Amen.
Amen. Reminds me of a story in Acts 19, the seven sons of Sceva. I remember the first time I read it, I was very scared. I was very scared because I thought, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Huh? She beats in the name of Jesus, is fine. They didn't know whose side they were on. But when I looked into it very well, I saw what their problem was. They went to challenge who they did not know. And they didn't know who they had behind them. And they said, you, in the name of Jesus. No, not in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus that Paul is preaching. I was thinking, do you not know Jesus? Must it be? That means there are plenty types of Jesus. But we are saying, there is Jesus, plenty. But the one that Paul is preaching, that's it, they were not even convinced. They did not even know who Jesus was. You know, hey, master, we heard Paul was casting out demons. How did he do it? In the name of Jesus. Let's go. So, demon. There were seven of them. I'm sure maybe they're more than seven or they're less than seven before. But they had to be seven because they thought it was religious to have perfection in seven. And then when they come out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaching. I think we all know what happened in verse 16. The Bible said, he pounced on them, overtook them, and prevailed. I think that's on its own. It shows what happens when you don't know who you are challenging. They pounced on them, overtook. When you pounce on somebody, what do you overtake again? They overtook their life and prevailed against and tore them apart and they ran around naked. And I just realized they were not convinced. They didn't know who Jesus was. They only heard about Jesus. And it's what many of us face. We hear about Jesus all the time. But we don't know who Jesus is. We don't know who God is. And I'm sure it's because they don't read their Bible as well. Because in the book of 1 Samuel 2, when Hannah was singing, she said, there is none holy as thy God. There is none beside him. There is no other Jesus. There is no the Jesus that God preached. There is only Jesus. Amen. Amen. We need to be convicted and convinced of who our God is. We need to know who is on our side. Not to think about the things that, you know, that stand in our way. I pray that we'll have that conviction in the name of Jesus. I pray that we'll have that conviction in the name of Jesus. Even the amen is never convincing. I pray that we'll have that conviction in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We need to start knowing who the God we serve. I am not saying that storms will not rise. I am not saying that things will not come our way. Many things will come our way that will make us seem as if God is not there. It will make us doubt if the God is powerful enough. If you look in the book of 2 Corinthians 4, 16, it said, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but for the things which are temporal. No, but are the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. That's to say, at any point in time of our lives, we should always be convinced that God is able to deal with everything. Daniel 11:32 says, those that know their God will do what? Do exploits. Those that what? Know their God. It's as simple as that. Very short statement, but it's a fact. It's not those that know their God may do exploits or can they will do exploits. Amen. If you go to the book of Isaiah 40, 30 says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You don't wait for what you don't know. Amen. Amen. If you look in the book of Daniel 3, 16 and 17, when Nebuchadnezzar told the Hebrew boys to bow down before the idol, when I read the Bible sometimes, I always put myself in their position and try to see what I'll do next. And there was something the boys said that really shook me. The boy said, King, or Master, or Sir, whatever that you want to use, we are not careful in answering you in this matter. Yes, Reverend, yes, they called him King, O King. But they said, we are not careful. We are not compromising in how we, our tongue is not tied in how we answer you to tell you, listen, we are not bowing down today. I know you are king. We are under your kingship, as it were. But we are not careful in answering this matter. Because the God that we serve will deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us from this fire, we will still not bow. That is kind of conviction, the kind of, what's the word for it now? You know, it was so convincing to them, even in death, they will not still bow down. Because they saw the things which were not seen. They were not looking at temporary fire. And I think we all know what happened at the end. And one thing that struck me was, even Nebuchadnezzar, before he said, who is that God? If you look very well in the scriptures, in my version, King James said, he said, who is that God? The enemy was questioning, who is that God that will deliver you today? Today is today. It's between you bow down and fire. It's as simple as that. When the enemy is asking you, who is that God? It's one thing I've learned. The enemy knows who God is. But he's asking you, who is that God behind you? Is the God behind you God? Or is it God that is behind you God? Amen. I wrote, the enemy will question your position in God. They can't question God. They cannot question God. Because in the book of Philippians 2, 9, he said, God had highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. Of all things in heaven, underneath the earth, and on the earth. So the enemy cannot question who God is, because the enemy definitely knows who God is. The enemy knows that, you know, God is highly exalted. So the enemy will only question your position in God. That's what the enemy does. When it brings problems in your life, it's questioning, so, where is your position in God? Where do you stand in God? I like to see the book of Job as not the enemy afflicting Job, but the main aim was to question God's position in him. Because what he said was, he will curse you. If you curse God, then you know your position in God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Our amen needs to be more convincing. Amen. Yes. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 20, I was just reading this one a few weeks ago, and I was just enjoying, the way God was just showing me things in the book of Kings. You remember, there's one king of Syria called King Ben-Hadad of Syria, mighty man of Syria, strong king. He wanted to destroy Israel, as always. They had business with Israel all the time. So, you know, when Israel is not misbehaving, we'll take what's theirs. It's land of milk and honey. Don't worry, we'll come and take it. But I don't think it was that strong enough, because he said he mustered 32 other kings as well. So I think he was beginning to know that there was a king, there was a God in Israel. Amen. And the Bible said, when they went to go and besiege them, Israel, you know, even Ahab, the king of Israel, said, by whom? Someone say, by whom? By whom? When God has spoken to you and you are still saying, by whom? If the king of Israel is asking, which God, by whom? Who will deliver us today? Somebody has brought 32 kings with him. And why won't I say, by whom? And the first time, when God dealt with Syria, what did the king say? Ben-Hadad, he said, they have gods of the hills.
that God cannot be the God of the land. Let's go and fight with them. Because we are definitely stronger than them. Because the enemy, I don't think, you know, he was, what position are you in? You know, maybe your God will help you up there. You know, but we'll see how your God will help you down here. But God had promised to deliver Israel from the hands of the enemy. Was able to deliver them that day. And I pray that God will be a God of all situations. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll be around very soon. So before you bring your step, I'll be out of this place. Amen. What am I trying to say this morning? We need to know who our God is. We need to know who our God is, who we have fighting for us at any point in time. It's not about who is against us. That's not important. Because by sense, 1 and 32 kings is more than one on its own. So they should overcome them. But God is for us. Nobody can be against us. Amen. In the book of Isaiah 40. And everybody look in this direction now. You know, 28. When the Bible says, "Hast thou not known?" One is laughing. "Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching his understanding." This is the God that we serve. And Psalm 60:11 says, "God hath spoken once, twice I've heard, twice it has rung, twice I've been convicted, that all power belongs to the God that we serve." So if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen.
Amen.
Romans 13:1 says, "All authority." He said, "Let every powers be subject to higher authority." But all authority is of God. That is the God that we serve. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We need to be convincing them. Huh? Me, I'm convinced who I am already. I'm convinced who I am already. He says all. Read your Bible. He says all authority. Psalm 62 says all power. When somebody has all power and authority, what question do you want to ask them again? Isaiah 49, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered?" You know when I say lawful captive? You are lawfully in bondage. You should be in bondage. You are a prisoner according to your own sins. You know, the adulterous woman was a lawful captive. By law, she is a captive. But the Bible said, "But thus said the Lord, even the captive of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend." Jesus contended with the Pharisees and the scribes. With them. "I will contend with whoever contends against you." Because they're not contending against God. They're contending against you. And I pray that God will manifest his power in our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray that God will manifest his power in our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 In the book of 2 Kings 6:32. When the people came down and Elisha was with his servants, when the enemy came against them, Elisha said something. He said, "Fear not." This is a man that knew who God was. He said, "Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." The topic is, if God is for us, who can be against us? I want us to know this morning that God is a God of all waters and every storm in our lives. Because the book of Psalm 24 says so. It says, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. For he founded it, the foundation and the waters are the seas that he created by his hands. Everything in the world is his own." So every storm, whatever name it has, whether it's called Euroclidon, or whether it's called famine, or whether it's called pestilence, whether it's called struggling, whether it's called sickness, God is the God of every storm in our lives. Because anytime the enemy raised a storm against the children of Israel, God always divided it all the time. 5 minutes, thank you. God was always dividing it. He did that in the day of Moses. He divided the Red Sea. In time of Joshua, he divided it. When Elisha was going, he divided through Elijah. When he was coming back, he divided again. I pray that God will divide every storm in our lives in the name of Jesus. May God divide every storm in our lives in the name of Jesus. The God that we serve is the God of every giant. He overcomes every giant. In the book of Numbers 13, when Joshua and Caleb came back, and the other elders, leaders were saying, the land is good, it's sweet, the crops are big, everything is fine. But the children of Anak are there. They are big. They are big. The recession is big. The sickness is big. It's good. That place is good. But it's big. But Caleb said, no. It's not God that brought us out from there in the first place. Let's go there and take it now. I know the God I serve. So from that day, God has made deal with every giant. The Bible said, and Goliath was mountain. He was big. And you kill someone with stone. I used to joke, one joke with my friends. I said, what if Goliath wore helmets? That didn't go. What will happen? If he just bounced off his head, what will happen? But God knows how to overcome every giant in our lives. You know, it's not only Goliath was not the only giant. You know, since that day that David was empowered to kill giants, even David's men were killing giants. Go and check your Bible. Book of 2 Samuel. The Bible said they were killing giants. Four giants came. Say even Goliath's brother came. I'm sure that one came for revenge. He must have gone to the gym. They said there was one that had six fingers and six toes. And he was slain by one man. He said, you have done it before now. David has killed with stone. You come. He has six fingers. I have one God. You know, balance the number out. Amen. May God overcome every giant and every Goliath in our life today in the name of Jesus. Because if God is for us, Amen. But to conclude the message today, it's not about all what I've said. Because all I've said from morning is facts. So whether I say it today or don't say it anymore, it's facts. But it's about the things that need to be done now. If you look, let's go to the book of Romans 8. Book of Romans 8. 2 minutes. Yeah. Okay. We've been speaking this morning on how powerful our God is, how great He is, how He defends us, how strong He is. But nobody can change that. That's facts. But the book of Romans, I love it so much because it brings us down to the truth. When we get back home, I want us to go and read this book. I believe this book is directed at specific people. It's one of those books that people like to bring out chapters from them because I like to call them sweet verses because half of it is sweet, but the remaining bits, we always leave it out. Look at verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That is where many people stop with the verse. But the Bible says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if God is going to be for you, I think you have to fulfill the second line. Amen. Amen. Go to verse 6. It said, for to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritual minded is life and peace. When we want to judge somebody, we bring out for to be carnally minded is death, and we end there. But we don't need to be spiritually minded at point in time. Amen. Verse 14 to 16 said, for as many are led by the Spirit of God. We stop there. But the fact is, they are the sons of God. It's not you that is leading them. It is they that are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that they are the children of God. And we go to 15, it says, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The question I'm asking today is, Abba, Father, is He your Father? Amen. Amen. Then we go to verse 18 to 19. No, not 18 to 19. Yeah. 19, it says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. We should ask ourselves this morning, do you fit into this category? For God to be for you. Because Paul was going, he was going somewhere with this, stating the qualifications. for God to be for you. Amen. Then he now jumped to verse 28. This one, I like this one very well, because it's one of those sweet verses. It says, and we know, fact, that all things work together for those who love God. Then we stop there. And them who are called according to his purpose. Have you yielded yourself to be called according to the purpose of God? And 29 to 30 just says everything. To be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Then he ends in 31 and says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I want us to rise. I just will just pray this morning. I want us to pray for mercy. I want us to pray for the mercy of God. That if there's anything that has taken us from being the Son of God, from being spiritually minded, taken us from being called, let's ask that the mercy of God will turn everything around. Let's plead for mercy this morning. Amen. Let's rededicate ourselves unto the Lord. Let's come back to him in humbleness and in truth and say, God, I'm here again. I'm rededicating myself to you. God, I'm bringing myself again to you. Because our God is always going to defend those that are his own. His word said, fear not, be of good courage, for it's the Lord God that doth say to. He said he will never forsake us. In Deuteronomy, he says he will go before us as a consuming fire. To cry out this morning for the adoption again, that God to readopt us, to bring us back into his sonship. God wants us to call him Abba Father. Say, God, I want to call you Father again. I want to be a heir of your inheritance, oh God. Because the Father would never forsake his Son. Amen. 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 We're not praying this morning. We're not praying. We need to pray. Let me say something. Like I said, I was reading the Bible, and I remember the story of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. When Ahab said, Jehoshaphat, my friend, let's go and fight. But Ahab knew the enemy was after his own life. And he said, you know what? I will just wear normal clothes. You wear your purple garment, everything, so the enemy can spot you. And the Bible said the enemy, their plan was after Ahab. But when they saw Jehoshaphat, they said, that is the man. But the Bible says something, they said, and Jehoshaphat cried out. He was not quiet. And he was in crying out. The enemy said, no, that's not our target. And the Bible said, a certain man, a nobody man, just arrow, randomly. He said, today, if I don't kill anybody, I'll just fire his arrow. And the Bible said, the arrow hit Ahab, where? In between his armor. In between. You know, in war, when they said you have been shot in between your armor, you are classified as unlucky. If the enemy shoots you in this small space here, and that's because God redirected, because Jehoshaphat cries. I want to cry out this morning. Cry out this morning. Say, God, have mercy on me, O God. Because our God is an everlasting God. us. Says you desire to have mercy upon us, O God. You are merciful, God. And Father, we just bring everything before you, O God. Because your word says, cast your burdens unto him, for he cares for you. We know you care for us, O God. Father, my prayer today is, O God, that you help us to put everything behind and put you in front, O God. Help us not to see the things and magnify the problems that we have, but help us to magnify you, Lord Jesus. Father, I just pray, O God, for our sonship, O God, as we dedicate ourselves to you again, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray, O God, that it will delight you to be for us, O God. Father, I pray that you have pleasure in standing for us, O God. I pray, O God, that you look at our lives, Lord Jesus, and use it for your glory, Heavenly Father. And help us to be calm when the storm arises, O God, Jesus. That indeed we will know that you are the King of the floods. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, pray.